Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra's Kuf Mem Beis. We are starting today on Kuf Mem Aleph on Mem Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. I'd like to go back just a little bit and start from the beginning of the sugya. We are in the middle of the Gemara's discussion regarding making a kinyan towards an uber, towards a fetus. There's a small problem with the fetus. He's a davar shelo bala olam. He hasn't come into the world yet. We could take that statement almost literally when it comes to the fetus. Fetus obviously is physically here, but still in utero. So the fetus is not born as of yet, and therefore it's a davar shelo bala olam. And we're talking about making a kinyan when it comes to together with the fetus. In other words, the fetus will be the recipient of the item that I'm trying to be makna over to him. Okay, so again, let's just let's set everything up nice and organized so that we have it all clear. So on a davar shelo bala olam, can I make a kinyan on a davar shelo bala olam? So that is a classic machlokus in the Gemara between Rav Meir and the Chachamim throughout all of Shas. The Chachamim say that I cannot make a kinyan with a davar shelo bala olam. If it's something that's not here and I'm trying to make a kinyan with it, so then I cannot do so. But to be clear, and we made this point yesterday, and we're going to reiterate it again today, we're talking about the object that is being transacted. We're not talking about the parties in the transaction. In other words, when I have a machna and a kona, the one who is transferring, the one who is the recipient, if they're both here and the item in question is not here as of yet, so we have a debate in the Gemara throughout Shas of Rameir and the Chacham on whether or not you can create such a kinyan with a davar shelo bala olam. So if I'm going to sell you next year's fruit. Next season's fruit. So Rav Meir says, okay, it'll work. Even though it's a davar shelo bala olam, it's not here yet, but we know it's going to come, and therefore I can make a kinyan on it right now. That is the shita of Rav Meir. And the Chachamim throughout Shas say no, that a person cannot make a kinyan ein adamakna davar shelo bala olam. You can't make a kinyan on something that's not here as of yet. So that is the classic machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim throughout all of Shas. Over here, however, it is a slightly different discussion. In that over here, we're not talking about the object which I'm transferring, we're talking about the recipient himself. The recipient himself is a davar shelo bala olam. In other words, the recipient is an uber, he's a fetus, she's a fetus, and it's in utero, and it's a lo bala olam. And we can then make the argument that, even according to Rav Meir, who says that, damakna davar shelo bala olam, that's talking about where the item that I'm transacting is not here yet. But if we're talking about the recipient, that's even more of a lack of hereness. I know that's not a great sentence, but it's not here. The recipient is not here, and you can make the argument that even according to Rav Meir, this is a davar shelo bala olam. Okay, so this is the discussion that we started with yesterday. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to take a step backwards. We're going to go back to the beginning of the sugya. The sugya starts on Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and it starts with the words. Take it all the way towards the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Huna. Okay, Amar Rav Huna is about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Well, we did this yesterday, but this is where the sugya starts, and it gets us going fresh. So Amar Rav Huna, Havim Mezakel Uber. Sorry, let me go back even one more line. Hahuda Amar Le Devasai. A man says to his wife, Nichsay Lahay Dema Abarta. Right, the Uber, the fetus that's inside of you. So I want to create a kinyan with it right now. So That's what he wanted to do. So Amar Rav Huna, have a mezakel uber, have a mezakel uber lokana. So Rav Huna categorically rejects it. You can't do that. You can't make a kinyan with an uber. It's a davar shelo bala olam. So Ezra Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Nachman. Is going to challenge Rav Huna. Omer imyaldi ishti zachar yitomani yalda zachar notel. I'm sorry. So what Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna is, you know, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah in the ninth parak of Baba Basra, the Mishnah that we did in yesterday's daf, describes a scenario in which a man says to his wife, I know you're pregnant, and if it's a male, I'm going to give it to 100, and if it's a female, I'm going to give it 200. Now, we are right now assuming that the kinyan is effective immediately, in terms of the actual dollar amount, so we have to find out whether it's a boy or a girl. But in other words, the Gemara is assuming that the kinyan is effective immediately, and that, of course, seems to indicate that you can make a kinyan with an uber, with a fetus. And so it seems to be a very strong question that Rav Nachman is asking Rav Huna. So Rav Huna, and I know this is going to sound a little bit strange, but Rav Huna dismisses the Mishnah. I know we don't normally talk in these kinds of languages, but Rav Huna says, I don't know who the author of the Mishnah is, meaning I can't make heads or tails of the Mishnah, I can't make sense of the Mishnah, I just don't know. which is strange. It's a strange way to respond to a challenge from a Mishnah. You give a new kimta in the Mishnah. You can say that it's shitas yachid, but the idea that any odea mishana, I don't know who taught the Mishnah, meaning I just can't make sense of the Mishnah. It is admittedly a strange way to respond to a question, but that's what Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman. And now what the Gemara is going to do is basically, let's see, meaning we can't put together a way of explaining our Mishnah, so the Gemara is going to make a number of attempts of doing so. So the first attempt of the Gemara is, well, maybe the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who is open to the idea of creating a kinyan with something that's not yet here. And then the Gemara rejects based on what we said just a couple minutes ago in the introduction of today's daf. We are not talking about where the item that's being transacted is lo bala olam. We're talking about where the recipient is lo bala olam. And I don't think Rav Meir would even in such a scenario be open to the idea that you can create a kinyan with somebody, with a recipient who's not here yet. I don't think he would say that. Did not. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I know there's a Tana who's open to the idea that a fetus is going to make an acquisition. Consider the following. So this is the Mishnah Yavamos. We went over this Mishnah yesterday, at the end of yesterday's shiur, and the Mishnah Yavamos describes the following scenario. Cohen marries a woman. Woman's not a Bas Cohen. Cohen marries a woman and impregnates her, and then the Cohen dies. So right now, this woman has a Kohen growing inside of her. However, as I mentioned yesterday, the halacha goes like this. When the baby's born, and let's just assume the baby will be male, but when the baby's born, even if the baby's female, it's a bas Kohen, but when the baby's born, so the baby is going to be a Kohen. However, it's a strange halacha, but this is a halacha. In utero, the baby does not have the Kohen status. The Kohen status only comes at the point of emergence, not at the point when the fetus is in utero. And so therefore, what the uber is inside of its mother is a zar. It's a non-Kohen developing inside. Only after emergence does it come out to be a Kohen. Now, we also know that this uber that's inside is going to inherit the estate, including the estate as an Eved Kanani, and also, obviously, once it emerges, also, because it is a Kohen that comes out, is able to provide Shuma not only for the Eved Kanani that it's going to own, but also for its mother. In other words, the mother now is going to be the mother of a Kohen, and therefore she'd be able to eat Shuma as well. With all that stated, in utero, Rav Yossi says, posel v'eino machel. It will disallow the Eved Kanani to eat truma, and it will disallow mom to eat truma as well. That's posel v'eino machel. So, div Rav Yossi. All this is predicated on the idea that the uber in utero has a holding on the Eved Kanani. Which means that clearly there is an idea of acquisition even when it comes to a fetus. So the Gemara says, Shani Yerusha, Haba Me'elah. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? I'm going to argue that it's different. Why is it different? Because it's not that we're manufacturing a kinyan for the fetus. We're talking about something that will happen automatically. When the baby is born, it's going to inherit. There doesn't need to be any action point for this to happen. All that needs to happen is the baby needs to be born. So, when it comes to Yerusha, since the acquisition is so natural, so therefore we can imagine that it happens even in utero itself. But if we're talking about a transaction that is, you know, where I'm taking something from somebody's property and moving it to somebody else's property, so that requires more. And the Gemara is saying that what Rav Huna would argue is that he just simply can't do that. So the Gemara says, well, what about the Shita of Yochanan ben Broka, which we discussed extensively in the 8th parak of Baba Basra, which is that you can give your estate to one of your children, and to the exclusion of the other children, and you could do that. So the Gemara says, so what the Gemara now is imagining is that if Rav Yochanan ben Broka would allow that, he would allow that towards the fetus as well, which the Gemara now just simply rejects. Amen. Rav Yochanan ben Broka ledav sheishna ba'olam, ledav sheishna ba'olam miyamar. Look, if it's ben abanim, if you have a son, together with your other sons, and you want to divert all your estate to one of your sons, fine, but he's here. We are going one step further. We're talking about a fetus. The Gemara says very simply, I don't think Rav Yochanan ben Broka would allow you to divert all of your estate to an unborn child. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we just simply put together the shitas of Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Rav Yossi with the assumption that they are in agreement with one another, and again, according to Rav Yossi, an Uber can make a kinyan. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, you can divert all your estates to one of your sons. So if you put the two shitas together, so that means that you can divert all of your estate to your unborn son as well, and this would seem to at least explain our Mishnah that talks about creating a kinyan with a fetus. So the Gemara says, "Miyema de Savala." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but again, that's an assumption, and I don't know that Rav Yochanan ben Broka agrees with Rav Yossi or the other way around." So the Gemara says, "So I can't, if you combine the two shitas together, it works." Gemara just simply says, "I don't know if they agree with each other." The Gemara says, "Well, who's the recipient in our Mishnah? Remember, the guy said, if I have a son, 100. If I have a daughter, 200. We assume the recipient was the fetus. Now the Gemara is suggesting, well, no. Maybe the recipient is whoever brings him this information. You'll remember, a couple days ago, we did a brisa, and the brisa discussed where he said, for the one who is going to inform me, I'm going to give him money. So maybe over here, the recipient is not the fetus, but rather the one who informs him. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is talking about Yerusha. The Mishnah is talking about where the recipient is the child. I look at the end of the Mishnah, What if the only one that's born is the Tumtum? So the Mishnah says, well, he's going to inherit everything. Clearly, we're talking about the recipient being the child. So the Gemara says, "Ibn Mifsarina Yarish Mayavita." That's exactly the Gemara's question. If we're talking about the Mivaser, the one who's laying him in on the news, the one who's sharing the news with him, so then what kind of language is the Mishnah using the word Yarish? So the Gemara says, "Okay, so we're going to reject that." Velema Le Bishialda. The Gemara says, "Well, maybe the statement was made after the child was born, meaning again we're working with assumptions. How do I know that the Mishnah is talking about where he made the statement before the child was born? Maybe he made the statement after the child was born. Ihachi diktani sefer." For the Gemara says that's also not an option. Why? The im amar kol ma sheteled ishti yitol. How is the yitol? Kol sheteled. So here the Gemara says, look, grammar, it's simple grammar. The Mishnah says, kol shetele, that's future tense. If the Mishnah was talking about where the children were born already, the Mishnah's language should have been kol sheyalda. Okay, so where do we stand right now? There's really, we have, Rav Huna says you can't create a transaction with an Uber. It doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. And even Rav Meir would tell you it doesn't work. And what about our Mishnah? So Rav Huna throws his hands up in the air and says, look, I know our Mishnah. I don't know how to explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is hard to understand. So the Gemara now says, and one more suggestion in terms of what to do with our Mishnah. So Velei Malei, we're now on the very top of Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is going to make one last suggestion in terms of what to do with our Mishnah. Velei Malei Da Amar Lichishetele. So the Gemara says like this, well, maybe, here's what Dad did. Again, our Mishnah talks about a father pledging money, assigning money over to his unborn child. If it's a male, 100. If it's a female, 200. We already discussed yesterday, why is he giving more to the female? Okay, that was yesterday's daf. But, the question on the table right now is, how can you do that? We're talking about a fetus, and a fetus is, according to Rav Huna, not something that can be the recipient of a transaction. It doesn't work for the fetus. So the Gemara is now suggesting as follows. The dad said it. And the dad said it while the fetus was in utero. But in terms of when the kinyan will take place, lichishetelet. Now this is different from what the Gemara just suggested a moment ago. The Gemara suggested a moment ago that he made the statement after the child was born. The Gemara is saying no. He made the statement before the child was born. In terms of when the effect of it is going to take place, he says that the kinyan will not take place until a later point in time. And so therefore we have over here, and again, this is another very classic discussion in the Gemara, where I have the Maisa Kinyan and the Chalos Kinyan being separated by two different times. The Maisa Kinyan, his transaction, he's sending into motion at the time when the child is a fetus and can't receive it, but in terms of the effectiveness of the chalos, he's dictating that the chalos will be put on a delay and it will take place at a later point in time when, quite frankly, the child can receive it, meaning after the child is born. And so the Gemara now is suggesting maybe that's the pshat in our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Ravuna l'tamid amar Ravuna av l'chishetele lo kana. So the Gemara says, you know why Rav Huna rejects it? It's fundamental. Rav Huna will tell you that if in the current state right now we can't do a kinyan, so then you can't put it on delay and allow it to occur at a later point in time if I can't do it now. Rav Huna's position, very simple and very fundamental. A kinyan will only work if the parties are currently here right now. If the parties are not here right now, if the receiving party is not here right now, a fetus in utero, according to Rav Huna, is not a receiving party. And so therefore, if he's not here right now, I can't do it now, even put it on a delay. It's just simply not going to work. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman. And the Gemara says, now not everyone's in agreement with this point. Amar Rav Nachman, Mezak Lo Bar Lo Kana L'Chishetele Kana. Rav Nachman says that, look, if I'm trying to make a kinyan with a fetus right here, right now, where both the Maisa Kinyan and the Chalos Kinyan were to take place right now, so Rav Nachman says that's not going to work. But, says Rav Nachman, if I do the Kinyan now, putting it the effect on a delay, and I'm going to say that, but of course it won't take place until the baby's born. According to Rav Nachman, once the baby's born, the Kinyan takes effect. So Rav Nachman is open to this idea of putting a delay on the Chalos Kinyan, on the effectiveness of the Kinyan. And Rav Huna, Amar Af L'Chishetele Lo Kana, and Rav Huna says no. Rav Huna on this point fundamentally disagrees. And Rav Huna will tell you that no, even on a delay, it's not going to work. If it doesn't work now, it cannot work at a later point in time if I'm trying to do it now. And there is a third opinion on this matter, and that's the opinion of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes Amar Echazev Echazek Kana. Rav Sheshes says that in both cases it's going to work. Whether I'm trying to do a Kinyan right now, or even if I'm trying to do a Kinyan on a delay, in either event it's going to work. So where do we stand right now on creating a transaction with a fetus? So now in the Gemara we have three opinions. The opinion of, I'll go in order of not the order Gemara just gave us, but in terms of order of whether it works or does not. So we'll start with the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says it never works. Meaning if I'm trying to make a kinyan with a fetus, it does not work in the immediate. Even if I put on a delay, waiting for him to be born, saying that the effect of the kinyan will take place only when he's born, it's still not going to work. Rav Sheshes goes in the other extreme position. Rav Sheshes says that a kinyan with an uber is always going to work, whether I'm trying to do it now, or if I'm trying to put on a delay, it's always going to work. And then Rav Nachman takes a middle shita. Rav Nachman says that if I'm trying to make a transaction with a fetus right here, right now, it's not going to work. He's not a ben kayama. If, however, I'm putting it on delay, so then Rav Nachman says under those circumstances, it's going to work. Three shitas amongst the Amorai. It begs the question. Are these shitas working within Rav Meir? Are they working even within the shita of the Chachamim? That needs attention. That needs an elaboration. But right now, we're just going over the three shitas of the Amorayim. Okay, I'm Rav Sheshes. We're in the Gemara. We're on Kufman Beis Amud Aleph. We're about six lines from the top of the Amud. And now the Gemara is going to bring a proof for Rav Sheshes, who takes the most radical position, which is that you can create a kinyan with a fetus, even as a fetus. So the Gemara says, Menami, no la detanya. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you how I know I'm right. I know I'm right based on the following braisa. It goes like this. Ger shemesu vizvizu Yisrael nechasav. So let's say you had a convert and he dies. Okay? And again, we know this time and again, the Gemara tells us, Ger shen is gaya kakana nola dami. That when somebody converts, so he's a born again. Right, I know some of you, right? Other people borrow the term from us, but it's a borrowed term. It's our term, right? A born again, Gerish and his guy, Kakana Nola Dummy. And that means that when you have somebody who converts, so they are now a totally new entity, and even though they have biological family, but they don't have any halachic family. So their parents are not halachically theirs, neither siblings. The only ones that are halachically theirs are their children. Their children are halachically theirs. So you can have now a scenario where somebody converts, and in the event that they die, so what happens to all their assets, provided that they don't have any children? Hefker, it doesn't belong to anybody. And then, kol hakodem zacha, anyone who gets there first is going to acquire their possessions. Fine. You have a scenario in which, so let's go back again, let's see the Bryson once again, Gershom Ace, you have the convert who dies, uviz vizu yisrael nechasav. And so everyone, as sad as the moment is, but everyone understands that you have a little bit of a land grab over here. So people are running over and, you know, and helping themselves to take from his possessions. They don't belong to anybody. They're hefker. And then rumors start circulating, oh, I think he has a son. Which means now, of course, it's not theirs. In other words, it belongs to the son. Or the rumors start circulating that his wife is pregnant. So chayavan lahachzir. So obviously they have to now return the items that they took because it doesn't belong to them. It was not hefker. Hechziru hakol va'achakach shamu shemeis beno oshi pilu ishto. Now after having put everything back, then new news comes out, and it's unfortunate news, and that is either that his son died or that his wife, who was pregnant, she miscarried. So now, again, after the unfortunate news, so once again, his possessions now become hefker again. Now, when I say again, I don't really mean again. Meaning, well, in the case where he had a son, then the word again is to be taken literally. But if we're just talking about a fetus, the word again over here is a little bit of a stretch. In other words, did the fetus acquire? Well, let's see. So, oshi pilu ishto. Hichzik bishnia kana. So for all those people who were already there in round one taking all the possessions, but again they returned it because they learned about the fact that his wife was pregnant, and now they go back, and if they do a second kinyan, the items belong to them. If they don't do a second kinyan, but just assume, you know, I already picked this up once, I already made a kinyan on it once, I don't need to do it again, the Braisa says it doesn't work. You need to do a second kinyan. Okay, so now let's think about it. If you think about it, actually, this seems to be an extraordinarily good proof for Rav Sheshes. Because consider that if there are two cases that the Braisa deals with. A, the convert had a child, or B, the convert's wife was pregnant. Let's deal with the second case, where the convert's wife is pregnant. So now, baby never was born, and yet the Braisa says very clearly that if they made a kinyan the first time before discovering that his wife was pregnant, so they got to put it back. Then if his wife miscarried, they go back and they have to make a second kinyan. And if they don't make a second kinyan, it doesn't belong to them. What did we just learn together? Seemingly, what we just learned together is that the fetus actually acquired all of those possessions. That's what it seems to indicate. And then this would seem to be a very good proof for Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, Isak adach, the Gemara just simply spells out what I just said. Isak adach uber lo kane lama luhu achzuka b'shnia. Ha'achzik luhu chadazimna. They already did a chazaka the first time around. Why are they doing a chazaka a second time around? Must be that the fetus acquired. The Gemara will simply sidestep this proof in one of two different ways. Amar Abaye. Yerusha abame ala ashani. So Abaye says it's not such a wonderful proof. Because again, we're going to go back to a point that we made earlier today, and we're going to say it again. And that is, we're talking not about the fetus acquiring something from an outsider. We're talking about Yerusha. Yerusha is automatic. And even if we subscribe to the position that a fetus cannot be the recipient of a transaction, that's if it's coming from the outside. But if it's coming internally, meaning Yerusha, which is going to happen automatically, so the Gemara says, I can easily see that as being different. Rava Amar Shani Hasam Derafu Emarafim Be'adayim Mikara. Rava gives us a different svara in terms of why it is this proof is not such a good proof. Because consider, all the people that came for the land grab in round one, so they took the item. Now, in order to create a kinyan, what do you need? You need, we say this time and again, Gemira's Das. You need confidence. For a buyer to acquire something, you need Gemira's Das. Which is, quite frankly, what all the Kinyanim are about. Hagbah, Meshicha, Mesira, Kinyan Sudar, all creates Gemira's Das. It all creates an understanding of confidence that I now formally own it. So the Gemara says, over here, you went to the property of a ger. You took his item. You knew that his wife was pregnant, or even if you heard of such news. So when you took it the first time, it could very well be that the fetus is not make a formal acquisition on that which on all that property, and it could be that in the case of a miscarriage, the fetus didn't acquire anything. But you who took it in round one, When you took it, did you take it with confidence or did you not take it with confidence? What Rav is now arguing is that you did not take it with confidence. You did not have Gemira's Das. The language of Rav is Rapui Marpim Biadaihu. Literally, it's weak in their hand. They don't have the full confidence that it belongs to them, knowing that the wife is pregnant, knowing that if the baby emerges, it's all going to belong to the baby. And that's why in round one, the kinyan is not a kinyan. Not because the fetus acquired it, but because they didn't do a proper kinyan on the item.
I thought they took it before they called
it. Right. Now, if that's true, so then would the Gemara use the same svara? It's a good point.
How can they take it? It still isn't responsible to be taken care of. So they're stealing from her.
No, what? Oh, from the wife?
From the wife. It's a Yerusha, no?
No, the wife doesn't Yerushin it. The wife does seemingly, in other words, he should have a ksuva obligation to his wife. And from that, in other words, the estate has to support her. Okay. But no, she doesn't
need Yerushin.
No, I know, but right.
She still has to be taken.
She needs to get supported.
So they're gazlanim.
Okay, I hear that. Okay, my Beinayu, the Gemara says, Zika Beinayu. The Gemara says, so now, two reasons why it is that this proof is not a good proof, either Abai or Rava. Abai says it has to do with the fact that it's a Yerusha and Yerusha is fundamentally different, or according to Rava, when they came in round one to take it, it was not with Gemir's Das. The Gemara says, you know, there's a practicable difference between these two explanations that are given, Sheshama Bo Shemes, Velo Meis V'Achar Kach Meis. Let's say we have the following scenario. Let's say that they heard about the death of the fetus. Turns out, however, that it was a false rumor. It simply wasn't true. And then afterwards, the fetus actually died. So under those circumstances now, when they took it, so they took it with full confidence, sure. Meaning, because they were of the impression it was false, but it doesn't matter. From their perspective, there was no one that was standing to inherit it. So therefore, when they took it with Gemir's Das, and therefore, it belongs to them. Now, it turns out that they were wrong, but if at a later point in time the fetus does actually die, well, then they don't have to make a second kinyan. At the time when they took it, they literally thought it was misinformation, fake news, if you will. But they literally thought that the baby already died. So they took it with Gemir's Das. Then it turns out that it was wrong, but then at a later point in time, subsequently turned out to be true, but there was Gemir's Das. And so therefore, according to Rava, it would work even with the land grab at number one, at round one. However, according to Abaye says that, no, this is Yerusha. Yerusha is different. And if the baby was not dead at the time when they took it, and it's fundamentally rooted in Yerusha, so then the fetus stands to Yarshin, which means that it belongs to the fetus, and therefore they're going to have to do a second kinyan in round number two. Okay, Tashma, come in here. So once again, we are now back to discussing what we discussed at the beginning of today's shir, and that is this idea of whether or not a fetus can be a recipient of a kinyan. So again, there are three shitas amongst the Amoraim, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes. Rav Huna's position is never. Rav Nachman says, if you put on a delay, yes. And Rav Sheshes says, yes. A fetus can inherit. The Gemara now is not inherit. Sorry. The fetus can be the recipient of a kinyan. The Gemara now is going to quote a Mishnah in Nida. The Mishnah in Nida reads as follows. Tinuk ben yom echad nochel umanchel. If you have a baby born on day one, so the baby can be nochel, he can inherit, umanchel, and then bequeath that estate to the next line of succession. So the Gemara says, now what do you see over here in this Mishnah Nida? Ben yom echad enu below. Very clear. The Mishnah is telling us is that when the baby approaches birth, not approaches, after the baby is born, then and only then can the baby acquire, bequeath. But prior to that, in utero, can't do it. This Mishnah would seem to be a extraordinarily good proof for Rav Huna, and it would be very difficult against Rav Sheshes. Ha amar Rav Sheshes nochel b'nechzeh em la'anchel la'achin min ha'av. So the Gemara says that here's what Rav Sheshes will tell you. That Mishnah over there is talking about a very specific line of succession. And that is the following. We're talking about where the baby is born to a mother who's got siblings from a different mother, meaning shares the same father, but a different mother. We know the halakha goes like this, that in the event that a brother dies with no children, so the line of succession is that his estate goes to his brother's, and so that means now that in the event where a brother inherits his mother's estate, and then the brother dies, leaving no children, and also father's no longer alive because the father's the next in the line of succession. So then we know that his estate goes to his paternal brothers. This is only going to be true only after he's born, not before he's born. Why should that be? The Gemara now is going to explain. And this only is true if the baby is born, but not if the baby is a fetus. Now, why not? It's not because, this is again, Rav Sheshes is defending his position. It's not because the fetus can't acquire. Fetus can acquire, according to Rav Sheshes. But over here, it's a technical problem. My taima, duhu ma'is bereisha, ve'ena ben, yorishasima, bekever, lahancha la'achim ena'av. The Gemara operates with an assumption, and that is, if a pregnant woman, rachman l'slan, if she dies, the order of death is, first the baby in utero, first the fetus in utero dies, and then the mother dies. Yeah, admittedly, it's an assumption of the Gemara, but it is an assumption. And that means now that, according to Rav Sheshes, a fetus can be the recipient, but in order for the fetus to be a recipient, what has to happen in this particular scenario is that first mom has to die, and then the fetus dies. So when mom dies, the fetus acquire the estate of his mother, and then was manchel, and then bequeathed it over to his paternal brothers. Over here, however, we are working with the assumption that in the event that the pregnant mother dies, the order of death is first the fetus dies, then the mother dies. That's why the Mishnah Nida tells us that you need to have the baby born so that we know positively that first mom died and then the baby dies. Okay. Just to point out over here, Tosfos on the very top of the Amud points out that you're going to find other Gemaras that doesn't operate with this assumption that in the event that a pregnant woman dies, first the baby dies, first the fetus dies, and then the mother dies. Tosfos simply points out we can make an easy distinction between natural death versus somebody who was murdered. So if it's a quote-unquote natural death, right, death to natural causes, so then we will operate with our Gemara's assumption of first fetus dying, then the mother dying. But if it is a murder, so then the assumptions are off. That's the top Tosfos on the Amud. You could see it inside for more on that discussion. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but empirically, you know, we saw that a pregnant woman died, and we saw that there was still movement in the fetus even after the mother died, which gave us an indication that first mom died, then the fetus died, and you told us that that's not going to happen. So the Gemara's answer very simply, so the Gemara says, well, when you cut the tail off of a lizard, so involuntary movement of the tail is going to incur even post-mortem. Gemara says it's the same thing that happened to the fetus. It doesn't change our assumption. Our assumption is that a pregnant woman dies, first the fetus dies, and then the mother dies after that. Okay, so what do we have right now? A Mishnah in Nida that says that only after the baby is born is it nochel umanchel. Rav Sheshes, what do you do with that Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes tells you the Mishnah is talking about a very specific scenario. The Gemara now is going to give a second shot in that Mishnah Nida. Marbury, the Rav Yosef, Mishmei, the Rav Amar, Lama Shememayit, Bechelik Bechora. So the Gemara says we're talking about minimizing Chelik Bechora, meaning that we know that in terms of assigning the double portion to the Bechor, what does he get? He gets 2x. So in other words, if the number of children that there are, if there are five children, so everybody's now going to be assigned the amount they get, let's call it X. The oldest is also going to get X, but the eldest is going to get 2X. So in other words, if there are five children, so now we're going to have 6X, take the estate divided by 6, and of those portions, give 2 of those portions over to the Bechor. The Gemara now is teaching us that this idea that the number of children are going to minimize that of the Bechor is only after the child is born. But if you have a fetus, so even though the fetus can acquire, according to Rav Sheshet, but still it's not going to minimize the chelek b'chor, the portion given to the b'chor, unless it's actually born. V'dafka ben yom echad aval uberlo, my taima. Now why should that be? Because if you look in the parsha of b'chorah, the Torah says v'yalda lo. Yilud amarachmana. I'm sorry, v'yalda lo amarachmana. So the Torah says that it's contingent on actual birth. If you have a baby born after the father died, so he's not going to minimize the amount of the bechor, meaning the bechor is going to get, let's say the baby that comes out was number six, still, and of course the baby is going to inherit, but in terms of the chelik bechor is going to be based on five boys, not six boys. Okay. My taima, and again, the Gemara just simply repeats, why should that be? Because in order to take away from the chelik b'chor, you need actual birth to occur for the subsequent brothers. The Gemara now is going to be giving a third pshat in that Mishnah Nida. A b'chor, in order to get his double portion, has to be born before the death of the father. But if the b'chor is born after the death of the father, he's not going to get his chelik b'chor. I know there's an obvious question to ask over here. We're going to ask the question, and we're going to obviously give an answer. But if the son is born after the death of the father, so presumably he's a b'chor, but he's also the only son. So when we're saying he doesn't get chelik b'chor, yeah, you know, you're right. He only gets everything. So that's all. So right. So what does that mean? Doesn't get chelik b'chor? That's the question. But the answer actually is pretty straightforward, and that is mom gave birth to twins. So in the event that mom gave birth to twins after the death of the father, now we can understand the halacha. Now the halacha is that even though there is a b'chor, but he's not going to get the pishnayim. Why is he not going to get the pishnayim? Gzeres hakasav. Because the Torah says to get pishnayim, so you have to be born while dad is alive. My taima, yakir amarechman of ahalesed yakir. Because you need a hakara. You need the father to recognize his bechor. And if he does not recognize his bechor, meaning he's not in this world anymore, so then the bechor does not get the double portion. So we have just learned together a Mishnah Nida, and the Mishnah Nida seemingly is against Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says that a fetus can acquire. The Mishnah Nida says no, only after the baby is born. And so what we just offered now in the Mishnah Nida are three plausible explanations of what the Mishnah Nida is referring to. One, it's talking about a case where it has to be born so that we know that it died after the mother, so that it inherited his mother's estate. Two, bequeath it over to his paternal brothers. Two, we're talking about in order for a baby to take away from the oldest brother's chelik b'chora, he has to be born first. Meaning, as a fetus, he's not going to be deducting from the chelik b'chora. Third pshat is that in order for a b'chor to receive his double portion, he has to be born in the lifetime of the father. If he's born after the death of the father, he's not going to receive his chelik b'chora. So those are three different ways to explain the Mishnah Nida. In doing so, all three ways, we have just defended Rav Sheshet. And then the Gemara says, and by the way, says the Gemara, the halacha will follow like everything we just said, meaning regarding the chelik b'chora, regarding the deduction of the chelik b'chora. So the halachas do follow like those explanations. Okay, I'm Rav Yitzchak, I'm Rav Yochanan, Mezakel Ober Lokana. Now the Gemara is wrapping up the entire discussion with halachic statements. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan that you can create a zikui for a... I'm sorry, you cannot. Right, good correction. You cannot create a zikui for a fetus. V'im tamar Mishnah say no. So the Gemara says, now what about our Mishnah? Now remember, we asked this question at the beginning of today's shiur vis-a-vis Rav Huna. Rav Huna's response is, I don't know how to explain our Mishnah. So here, when the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan, that you can't create a kinyan for an ubar, to the question of what do you do with our Mishnah, he actually is going to have a response. And that is, Hovadat Shaladam Krova Eitzel Beno. Answer is very simple. You know in our Mishnah? Yeah, I know you can't create a kinyan, generally speaking, when it comes to a fetus. But we're not just talking about any fetus. We're talking about his own biological son, that right now currently is a fetus, but will become his son, Mirza Hashem. And remember, what's the problem with a kinyan, with a fetus? The problem is Gemir's Das, meaning that you don't know whether the fetus is going to emerge or not. You don't know if it's going to be viable or not. When it comes to a father and his own child, the language of the Gemara is Dato Shel Adam Krovel Eitz Abano. A person has a natural affinity towards his child. As a result of that, kinyan. Meaning, there is enough Gemir's Das over here to create a kinyan between the father and his unborn child. And that's why our Mishnah is fundamentally different. Amalei Shmuel Rav Huna Bagdasa Poka Isi Lei Be'asara. So Shmuel says to Rav Chana Bagdasa, go get 10 people out. Ve'emalach Ba'apayir. And I'm going to say the following in front of the 10 people. Hamazaklu Uber Kana. So that if you create a Zechus for a fetus, it works. Meaning, he sides with the opinion of Rav Sheshes that you can create a kinyan for an Uber. Why is he getting around 10 people in order to hear the halacha? When you want to publicize the halacha, so you get a quorum. We saw that in Megillas Rus. In other words, when Boaz says, you know, I know she's Moavis, it's okay. And what he did is he assembled 10 people together to tell everyone it's okay. Moaviv alo Moavis. The Torah's issur of marrying a Moabite is only for male, not for female. He got together a quorum of 10 in order to publicize the halacha. Same thing over here in our Gemara. Now, it's going to be a little bit odd because immediately after he collected a quorum of people to tell them that you can make a kinyan with an Uber, the Gemara's conclusion, Ve'ilchasa, Amazaka Be'Uber Lokana, that if you create a Zichus for an Uber, it does not work. The Gemara says that's the conclusion, not like Rav Sheshes, but rather like Rav Huna. Okay.
you can't use the argument of the Zichur to go against Rav Sheshes.
It's not going against Rav Sheshes. In other words, all we're doing is just taking that to use to explain the Mishnah Nida. So basically now what we've done is we've isolated the Mishnah Nida, and the Mishnah Nida no longer serves as a question against Rav Sheshes. That's what the Gemara did. Okay, let's recap. I'll stop over here. The next section of the Gemara is now a new topic. It goes well into tomorrow's daf. So let's stop over here. Let's just quickly recap. The entire daf today is dedicated to the discussion of creating a kinyan towards an Uber, having the fetus becoming the recipient of an acquisition. Does it work, yes or no? The short story is no, it does not work. The longer story is it's a machlokas amorayim. It's a machlokas between Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes. Rav Huna says no. Rav Sheshes says yes. Rav Nachman takes a middle position, which is that you could do the kinyan now with the chalos, with the effectiveness occurring at a later point in time, specifically when the baby's actually born. So Rav Nachman takes that middle position. What we did over the course of today's daf is we cited proofs for and against Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, and Rav Sheshes, and then the Gemara concluded with the halacha, and Amoraim debate what the halacha is. The Gemara's conclusion, however, is that the fetus cannot be the recipient of a kinyan.